Good afternoon, and welcome back to this second service of God's High Holy Day, the Day of Pentecost, also called, as we've already heard today, the Feast of Weeks and Feast of First Fruits. And when we talk about first fruits, we're referring, of course, to those who God first calls out of this world into a life of service to Him. A life that we surrender to God's will. We turn from our own way of life, our own way of thinking, and we try to think more like God. And then, as first fruits, we also have the chance to ultimately be firstborn into the family of God. Jesus Christ being, of course, the first of those first fruits. And that's why we're here today. As God's church, as God's people, that's what we're living for. We're all here, we're all trying, we're striving because we want to be in that harvest of first fruits into God's family. And that is an incredible opportunity that God the Father has extended to us. But is it an open-ended opportunity? Or are there conditions on us? Are there responsibilities to being a first fruit? Or are we, like Mr. Wilson mentioned earlier, are we too distracted by the world around us? On a day like today, the day of Pentecost, this feast of first fruits, it is a good time to ask, what is our responsibilities? What should we be thinking about? What is our inward focus as first fruits? What should we be doing? What are we required to do? Or are we required to do anything? Now, a quick answer for this, and you don't have to turn here, I'm just going to refer to it in Revelation 19, verse 7. Besides being called first fruits, the church is also known as the bride of Christ. But verse 7 says this: "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride hath made herself ready." So this is an obvious indication that we have something to do, that we have our part in this. We are responsible for making ourselves ready. To be there at the resurrection, we have a responsibility to live a life a certain way, to come out of this world, and to help do our part in making ourselves ready to be first fruits. Now, on a side note, and again, you don't have to turn here, but I was reading Mark chapter 13, and in verse 28, it said this. It said, "Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near." Now, I understood what this parable means. I understand what it's saying, that we should be aware of what's going on around us. We should be able to look at the signs around us and know about where we are and what times we are living in. But I also realized that I didn't really know much about the fig tree. To learn from it, to learn a parable from it, I thought, well, maybe I should. I should learn a little bit about the fig tree. So that's what I did. I did some reading on it. And I found that there's quite a few things that the fig tree represents. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from it. And what I want to do with the time that I have left here today is tie in today, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits, with the fig tree. So if you would, turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry." Now, he being Jesus. And we see here that Jesus is just like any other human being at the time. He was hungry. He got hungry. "And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves." Now again here, finding leaves is important. And we'll go through that here in a minute. "And seeing leaves from seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs," which I found interesting. This was not the season for figs. "And in response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Now, to some, this might seem like an overreaction to curse a tree that wasn't producing fruit in a time that wasn't a season for fruit. But we'll see as we go on what's going on here. Verse 20, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Okay, so what went on here? What can we learn from this, and how does it connect with the day of Pentecost? Well, the first thing that you'll notice here is that this is around the Passover time. If you read just the first few verses in the chapter, you'll see this is about the Passover time. So it's in the spring, and Jesus and his disciples were walking, and you know, Jesus being hungry, he saw the fig tree, and it was covered with leaves. So this makes it a little later on into the spring. The leaves are full on the tree. Now, a fig tree can take up to 12 years to mature to the point where it can produce figs. And in the spring, as the leaves begin to bloom, the first of the year's figs begin to grow on that tree. And this is what Jesus saw. He saw the tree with leaves, and he went to look for the first figs that would grow. Now, I want to read you something. This is from the International Standard Bible Dictionary. It says, in Palestine and other warm climates, the fig yields two crops annually, an early one, ripe about June, growing from the old wood or from the old or from the midsummer sprouts of the previous year. These tiny figs develop along with the leaves to about the size of a small cherry. And then the great majority of them fall to the ground, being blown off by the wind. These are also known in the King James Version as untimely figs. And a second more important crop about August, which grows upon the new wood or upon the new spring shoots. By December, fig trees in the mountain regions of Palestine have shed all their leaves, and they remain bare until about the end of March when they commence putting forth the leaf buds. So now with this, we get a clearer picture of what was going on in these scriptures. When Jesus saw the leaves on a tree, he went to it expecting to find small figs to eat. He was looking for the first fruits of the fig tree, which are a result of the previous year's growth, or the old wood. The main harvest of the fig comes later in the fall from the new wood, or the new year's growth, which begins in the spring. So from the previous year, where the figs would have grown in the fall, that's where the spring figs will grow. And then those ones will die off, and then throughout the year, the new shoots will come up, and that is your fall harvest, and that's where the main harvest comes from. Now, what I found interesting was that there were, you know, that if there are no figs on the early spring tree, that means two things. First, it means that there was no growth from the previous year, or at least the past year. Could even go back further. Second thing is, if there's no spring figs, there will not be any fall harvest on that tree either. The tree has stopped producing fruit. And at this point, it just becomes a tree, you know, taking up space. So Jesus cursed the tree because it was not producing fruit. So I have to ask myself today, on this day of Pentecost, Feast of First Fruits, I have to ask, you know, am I growing? Am I producing fruit like I'm supposed to? Or am I just taking up space? Am I just here filling a seat? You know, God's church is very valuable space. It's not just open to anyone. It takes an invitation from God himself for you to be here. You know, we're expected to grow, and we're expected to grow and produce fruit. Now, okay, what kind of fruit? Now, I feel a responsibility to go here, or obligated, because Mr. Wilson promised that we would go here again. So if you're looking for fruit, it would be in Galatians 5:22. You don't have to turn there. But, you know, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these are just some of the things that we are to be growing in. These are all part of what fruits we should be growing in. Now, I mentioned, well, earlier, where it says learn a parable of the fig tree. When I got reading that, and I'm thinking, okay, I can understand this parable, or what was being said here. And so I got looking through, and I found several other stories or parables in the Bible about fig tree. And here's one in Luke 13. Turn to Luke 13, verse 6. Luke 13, 6. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of this vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, then that's good. We keep it. But if not, after that, you may cut it down." Well, you know, what we can learn from this parable is this, that our God is a merciful God. Our God is a patient God. Our God is a forgiving God. So if I in my life start to feel like maybe I'm not doing all that I should be doing, or wonder, you know, have I really left this world behind? Have I become too distracted by this world that I still have one foot dragging behind me in it? I can't quite let it go. Well, then I can go to God. And this day of Pentecost, this Feast of First Fruits, is a really good time to start. If you can go to God and you can say, "God, please, please be patient with me. You know, please be merciful for me. Please forgive me. And please, you know, work with me. Help me get through this. Help me to turn my back to the world and focus fully on you." And he will. He's there to help us. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. That's what we heard earlier. It gives us the strength to do this. But this parable also has another meaning. And it shows another side. And it says, and it's plain. It's just what it says, that God's mercy and his patience have its limits. At some point, you know, if there's no growth, if we are just here taking up seats and there's no life, no growth to it, there are limits to how far God's patience and mercy will go. And that's just one of the lessons that we can learn from the Mark 11 account and from the fig tree. Now, I don't want to end on what might feel like a low note. So let me remind you kind of where I started. You know, as first fruits, we have an awesome opportunity to be first born into the family of God and to work with him into the millennium and beyond. So let's take a quick look at what that might be like. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and we're going to start right in verse 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days," this is the millennial setting, "that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of the hosts has spoken, for all people walk each in the name of his God, but we walk in the name of our Lord and God forever and ever." Have a great Sabbath.
Mr. Coleman, much like you, I didn't know anything about fig trees either till now, so thank you for that message and information. Okay, brethren, it is time to rise and sing another hymn. Please rise and open your hymnals to hymn 122, "Great is the Lord." 122. Thank you. be seated. Okay, we just have a couple of quick announcements here this afternoon. First, we had 81 in attendance this afternoon, and the offering total was $4,857. So that was a great offering to God. Thank you for that. And we do have special music also this afternoon. But just a reminder, if you still haven't paid for your lunch that you had this afternoon, Mr. Coer would like you just to please to send a check to him. And if you don't need his address, you can probably just see him after services and we can clear that up for you. Okay, again, we do have special music this afternoon. The title of the song is He's Always Been Faithful. This was written by Sarah Groves. And this will be presented by Lisa Kuiper and Alexis Sumner. And after which, Mr. Stiver will be coming up for the sermon.